Buffaloes. Can you go a little bit faster? We got work to do. That's it, Buffaloes. Keep moving. Just keep moving. Thank you, Buffaloes. Jesus is the King of Kings. He forgives our sins. His love is for me and you. Shout it from a mountain.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome here to Lutheran Church of Hope. My name is Justin Stofa. I'm on staff as the Power Life Junior High Minister, and I want to welcome you, whether you're sitting here in this room or you're joining us online or at one of our local sites or our campuses. It is no accident you're here. It is so good to be the church together this morning. In case you haven't heard, it's been a wild past 2 weeks of Vacation Bible School here at Hope, a mountaintop experience, if you will. And I want to start with a scripture verse that's been on our hearts and minds a lot this week. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 16. I found myself saying that a lot to the people around me. How blessed are we to see what we get to see around here, to hear what we get to hear, especially when it comes to Vacation Bible School, to feel the energy, to see so many young people with the faith of a child, to enter into this space and to sing and dance and praise God. And I want to just tell you, it's more than just the lights and the music and the funny skits. I got to be a guy named Camper Ken with a disco ball cowboy hat. That was fun. But it's more than just than what goes into it. It's the fact that we're pointing these young students and being reminded ourselves as adults of the power of God's word. And to hear them jump and shout and sing about these powerful, timeless stories. There's nothing like it. Blessed are our eyes to see and our ears to hear that God would choose us, of all the people in the world, that he would choose us to know the gospel, to encounter him as his creation, to know him and his love for us. What a blessing that is. Now, there's a temptation just to say, that was VBS, great, now we're on to the next thing. But just for a moment, so we don't miss it, I want to just bask in the glow of what God's doing. Because in our culture, we're ready to move to the next thing. There's always what's next, what's in the next news cycle, what's ahead. And things move fast. But I want to take a moment because the pictures and the videos you saw, they just start to give you a glimpse of heaven. They give you a glimpse of this beauty and this joy. But they don't always tell the full story. And I don't think for a second I can tell the full story, but I want to share a few more because over 8,000 kids showed up at VBS this year, and 2,000 volunteers, adults and young people. A special shout out to junior high and high school students. Without them, this thing doesn't work. And so I have a heart for them young people. So praise God for the young people in our community that show up for these young kids and the joy that's in this room. The stories of grandma camps and cousins coming together from different states and staying the whole week and entering into this space every day full of joy. The stories you hear from the prayer room, which is just right over here under the right field bleachers in this space. It's like a busy beehive of kids going in and out and sharing their prayers. Some of them simple and lighthearted, others very real. It's all real, but some of it deep. Hurtful things, struggles, adversity that they're going through, that they're trying to navigate as 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And our prayer team prays for them, and then after they pray, they each get a little card that has a mustard seed taped onto it to say, remember, even the smallest amount of faith, God can grow into something beautiful. As I mentioned, I got to be in the skit, and that was fun. I was talking to our One Body ministry coordinator, Jill Smith. It's a special needs ministry here at Hope. She said, first of all, the volunteers in our church family are incredible. She said, together we were able to serve over 60 students with special needs. One little boy who had Down syndrome, he would run up to me every day. I think it was the disco cowboy hat that I had on. But he would smile, hi, Ken. And I'd say, hey, James, how are you? And then every day he'd tell me where he's going, story time, or he was going to go learn the new dance that we were doing. And he brought so much joy just to me. He lit up every room that he entered into, and his volunteer was so sweet. I heard a story of another student who is wheelchair-bound, nonverbal, doesn't speak. And the mom said, I'm so grateful for this church who receives my child here, because as we're even getting ready in the morning, I can see in my child's eyes the joy. We can feel it. We enter into this space and the love is real. And there's something that God's doing in this space. There are people that are coming to faith, coming to church. There was a little girl last week who told her mom, who doesn't go to church, to say, we've got to go to church at 9:30 because I'm going to dance and you need to watch me dance at church. What mom doesn't say yes to that? She said, okay, so we're here, and made her way into this space, because there's room, there's love in this space. There was another story of a grandma who brought her little granddaughter, and the little granddaughter doesn't go to church. And she came in, and after the first day, she says, well, sweetheart, what'd you think? She goes, I want to go back tomorrow. And the next day, and she says, I want you to sign me up for next year right now. I don't want to wait. She was so filled with joy. And it's not the lights and the sounds, it's the power of God's word. One fifth grade boy, the fifth grader sit up in the top middle up there where you guys are, and his mom said, okay, he came home one day, and it was after our closing worship, all the lights and the music, and we're singing God's praises, and he said, Mom, I just felt like all these feelings, I just wanted to take my shirt off and spin it around my head. I'm told he didn't do that, but that's what he wanted to do. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's just this joy, this excitement that's in this space. And the stories go on and on. We could spend years recapturing and retelling these stories. Somebody on my team asked me, well, Justin, what's one of your favorite highlights? You kind of have a unique perspective. And I thought about it. There's a lot of highlights. But the one that kept coming back to mind, it's actually a VBS highlight that started a few months before VBS even occurred. Back in April, they were putting together the music. And the idea was that we would have young kids in our church family recite Psalm 23. And we would use their voices to lead us into our prayer song as we close each day. And so the Stopa kids were invited to be part of this. And they all did such a wonderful job. They're sitting over here all nicely with my wife. And so far, we're only a few minutes in, so just wait. And they all read the psalm, and it was beautiful, and I could hear little bits of their voices in the song each day, and that gave me great peace. But a special highlight was our youngest, Jameson, little J-Mo. He's 3 years old, and he doesn't know how to read, but he knew how to repeat back what I was saying. And so we had this precious moment where I would start, and then he would recite what he heard from me. And I asked Isaac, who plays the keys, who also produces the music, I said, hey, do you have that sound clip? Because it's just so sweet to hear God's word in that way. And he said, oh yeah, he's a wizard with that. So he like pulled up. And so I want you to take a listen and just to hear the faith of a child as they recite Psalm 23.
Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I have all that I need.
I have all that I need.
He lets me rest.
He lets me rest.
In green meadows.
In green meadows.
He leads me beside.
He leads me beside.
Peaceful streams.
Peaceful streams.
He renews my strength.
He renews my strength.
How precious. It's his little voice. Yeah, praise God for the power of his word. It's his little voice, but it's God's word. And that's where the power is. And as a parent, there's nothing more that I could ever want than for my children to know God's word. And so what a gift for God to allow me to see firsthand and to hear and to have that exchange. And he was just repeating what his dad said. But then as we kept going, he surprised me because he stopped repeating me and he just jumped into whatever he was going to say next. Take a listen.
Even when I walk,
even when I walk
through the darkest valley,
I won't be afraid.
Did you catch that? He knew that part. He had heard us saying that, and it was this precious, just one moment where God's word was written on his heart. That seed was being planted to say, even if I walk through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid. And it's funny because as the youngest, he's the most afraid in our whole family. He's scared of the dark. He doesn't want to go anywhere alone. He even offers to go into the bathroom with us so that we won't be scared, because we say, just give us a minute. I need 1 minute. He bangs on the door. Are you okay? Yeah, we're fine. Please. And just so you don't think that the Stopa kids are all Bible scholars, we had a good laugh because as he finished, he didn't quite get every word right. Take a listen.
Say, for you are close beside me.
You're close beside me.
Your beauty and love.
Your beauty and love.
Chase after me.
Chase after me.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
And I will live.
I'll live.
In the house of the Lord.
In the house of the Lord.
Forever.
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 Forever. Good job, J-Mo. It's the power of God's word, and it's going to last forever. It's just a glimpse of heaven. And I know we live in a broken world, and there's a mess everywhere we turn. But if we're open to it, and our hearts are open, we get a glimpse. Blessed are our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Because what we're experiencing here during Vacation Bible School, what we experience here every weekend and every time we gather to study God's word in this church, it's going to last forever. And so my hope and my prayer for our church family is that we would keep that humility, that we wouldn't think for a second that it's about what we're doing or how we structure things. As amazing as the staff is and the volunteers and the way people share their gifts, it's God's word that's going to outlast all of us. And so it reminds me of a parable that Jesus told about keeping a posture of humility as we enter into this church space, as we enter into God's house. It's a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus said there were two men who entered into the temple, who came to church to pray. He said the first was a Pharisee. Now, as a reminder, a Pharisee is a religious leader. Outwardly, looks very much the part. And knows God's word, knows the laws, and is righteous in his own eyes. And the other is a tax collector. Part of the same Jewish faith, also an Israelite, but has a role where their job is to collect money from their neighbors to give to a foreign government. Not just any foreign government, but a government that's invaded their land, that is oppressing their people. And so this person, who's supposed to be part of their religious faith, has betrayed them and is collecting money, little of which they have, and giving it away to somebody else who's an oppressor. And a lot of times was known for being corrupt, somebody that took a little too much so that they could have more in their own pockets. And so here are these two men, a religious man, a leader in the church, and a tax collector, both into the temple. And the Pharisee says, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm not like the others. Thank you that I'm not corrupt, that I'm not a sinner, that I'm not immoral, that I'm not an adulterer, that I'm not like that tax collector over there. Thank you, Lord, that you've made me different. The tax collector can't even go forward, just keeps a posture of humility and hangs his head. Lord, I'm unworthy of your love. Forgive me of my sins. And Jesus says, which of these two men do you suppose walked away righteous in God's eyes? Surprise, it's the tax collector. Because God sees things differently than we see things. We see an outward appearance, but God sees the heart. God sees our heart. He knows our intentions. He knows that inner voice. He knows the things that no one else knows, only we know, and he knows, and he sees it all, and he chooses to love us. And so it's no surprise as we go to our Bible reading today, now with the context that we have, that Jesus would look at someone like Levi, also known as Matthew, and he would go to this man who's a tax collector, despised, an outsider, someone who's left on the fringes of society in that time, and he would say, Levi, Matthew, follow me. Now, if you watch the Chosen, you may recognize this face in this scene. Jesus chooses to invite this outsider to follow him. And that comes as a surprise to his disciples. Why are we including those people in God's kingdom? And the beautiful thing about God's word is this invitation, follow me, it was true for Matthew back then, and it's true for you today. It's true for me today. Jesus is extending an invitation to you on this Sunday morning. Follow me. I love the imagery in this scene. There's a gate, there's a barrier, almost like a prison wall that's separating Matthew from Jesus. And in this symbolic way, he's saying, step out from behind this cage where there is no life for you. step out in faith into an unknown world, but into one where I promise that I'll be with you. And that invitation is true for us today too. And maybe like Levi, for you, it's a job, or there's power, or there's money, or there's a position, and you would be leaving behind all of that if you follow Jesus in a more bold way. Maybe for you, that wall looks more like the false comfort of a drink or a bottle of pills or some other substance that promises to provide safety and security, but it doesn't last. The world says it lasts. You already know in your heart it doesn't last. Maybe for you, that barrier is on the glow of a screen, an endless scroll, a distraction, something that draws you in, that draws you away from God. And Jesus is saying, step out in faith and follow me. That invitation is true for us today. And so that's what Levi does. He says, follow me and become my disciple. A disciple means a student, to learn from me, Jesus says. And so he does. And Levi, Matthew, then hosts a dinner with a bunch of his sinner friends. And they're there together with Jesus. And then the Pharisees show up and they have some questions. Take a look.
I don't know if he's telling you about it, you know. He was teaching.
Hey, Matthew, when you're not behind iron bars, you're quite handsome.
I agree.
What is going on?
May I help you?
We were just on a walk and we heard voices, and I thought it sounded like...
But surely not. And yet it is you.
Would you like to come in?
We would never, never be caught dead in a...
In a what? In a tax collector's house?
Not only that, but with a... Do you know what she... And he... They are...
You seem to be having troubles finding your words, man.
Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners?
It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.
They've never offered guilt sacrifices in the temple.
What?
The priest keeps the records. We check them.
Tax collectors are not welcome at the temple.
We'd like them better if they made the proper sacrifices.
This is not about me. This is about what God wants.
You are forgetting the scroll of Hosea. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy more than sacrifice.
The Pharisees come with a simple question. Why? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, we have the context of being able to look back in history, but imagine for a moment that you're a Pharisee, that you say, I've studied God's word, the law, the Old Testament. I know what it says, at least I think I do, and I want to do the right thing before the will of God. I want to be in line with it. And all of a sudden, this man named Jesus just says, okay, all these immoral, corrupt, undeserving people are welcome. That doesn't make sense to me. Why? They want to know. And if we have compassion, we can try to put ourselves in their shoes. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been left off an invite list before? Maybe there was a wedding you thought you were going to get invited to, or a birthday party, or a celebration or a gathering that you really hoped to be on, but somehow you didn't make the list. A simple, silly story from my younger years. I remember specifically not being on the list one time. I played Little League baseball as a kid. This is in the 90s. I grew up in Southern Iowa in Albia. There was a Little League baseball field, and there were six teams. We all played each other, like 10 games. And then at the end of the year, they'd pick the top 12 guys to be on the All-Star team. And so after the last game, they would post a list that the coaches had gotten together and the top 12 guys, and you'd be the All-Stars. And so you had to be 11 or 12 to make the All-Star team. So my 11-year-old year, I remember the game ended. I walk up to the concession stand. I'm looking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Maybe there's a typo. And I looked. I didn't make it. But I did get a call the next day, and I had made the B All-Stars. So just look at that round face, golden glasses wearing 11-year-old. Who wouldn't want that at third base? I mean, I was an All-Star in my own book. But I made the B All-Stars. MC stands for Monroe County. And the coaches were like, B means better, we're brave. And I said, no, B means bad, okay? I know how this works. A is the best, B is not. And so I was like, B, I wasn't good enough to make the A All-Stars. I get it, you don't have to sugarcoat it for me. But I was determined my 12-year-old year. I didn't give up. I stayed with it, played baseball again. I worked hard. I trimmed down a little bit. And then the last game came. I went to the concession stand. I looked at the list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And also on the B All-Stars that year, too, as a 12-year-old. So, and I didn't trim down that much, okay? I still had the glasses, so I could see great. But that year, we won a medal. But there was this narrative that started in me as a young person. If you're good, you're on the list. If you're bad, you're not. It's just not that complicated. Good, you make it. Bad, you don't. And it would take several more years to realize the value of still building great relationships and having the opportunity to play those games and all that. But as a kid, you start to have this narrative that forms. Good gets in, bad doesn't. It's not just Little League Baseball. It's the Olympics, for example. You have to be invited. Okay, I don't know if anybody else is watching the Olympics. Only the best in these sports get invited to be at the Olympics. Although I think it'd be hilarious and people would tune in if just two regular dudes went and tried to do synchronized high dive. I think that'd be fun. I'd watch for a little bit. But it's the best people, and it's invite only. And it's not just the athletes that get invited. Certain people get invited to be part of witnessing this greatness and watching it. We had a fun story in our family. My wife, Brenna, her oldest brother, Jake, he works for Delta Airlines, and they are a sponsor, and so he got invited to go to Paris. That's great, we said, because you got to realize you can either be sad for yourself or happy for them. So we're happy, and Jake's over there with Colin. Hello to you guys. They're tuning in. I think they're 7 hours ahead of us, so good afternoon. And he said, we're going to go to the opening ceremony. That's awesome. He said, we got invited to sit on a bridge as all the boats go by. That's cool. What bridge is it? As though we know it all. We're all texting. He said, well, it's the NBC bridge. Doesn't mean anything. He's like, Steven Spielberg's sitting next to us at the table over here, and we were talking to Peyton Manning earlier. Oh, good. I'm glad you made the list. That's really great. I'm happy for you guys. That's so awesome. The kids were watching the opening ceremony. They're like, it looks like it's raining. Uncle Jake, is it raining? They send a picture. 2 minutes later, ponchos and umbrellas. Yes, can confirm on the ground it's raining here. 10 minutes later, another text comes through. They're standing with Snoop Dogg on the bridge. We said, please stop. We can't handle these pictures anymore. And they're having a great time. And we said, well, what's it like there? You know, because you only sense so much through the TV. And he says, the rain has not dampened the spirits. He said, there's love in the air. There's an excitement. It's so amazing to watch all these different countries go by, different cultures, different backgrounds, different types of athletes, and all smiling and waving. And the Olympics gives us just a glimpse of heaven. All of us are created in the image of God, and gathering in one place, full of joy and anticipation and excitement. And before any medals are handed out, there's these moments of great unity. I don't know if you watched the opening ceremony, but there was another moment that I think was a glimpse of heaven. If you know the story of this performer, Celine Dion, she got the opportunity to sing, but before she sang, you should know her backstory. A couple years ago, she was diagnosed with a neurological disease that affected her muscle movement and even her vocal cords. She's a world-famous singer, and she was wrestling with the fact that she may never sing again. And she was given an invitation to share her gift in front of the whole world, up on a platform on the Eiffel Tower, in the city of love. And she chose to sing a song called Hymn à l'amour, which means hymn to love. It's a love song. I'm not going to pretend that it's a worship song, but it is very much a love song. And love is a universal language because God is love. And so even if you don't understand the words, I want you to take a look and get a glimpse of this unity, a glimpse of heaven. Now, I don't speak French, so I had to look up the lyrics. But in this powerful song called A Hymn to Love, you can feel it in her voice. One of the lyrics, one of my favorite, it says, in heaven, no more problems. And in that final note that she sings, that final sentence, she says, God, reunite those who love one another. Isn't that the cry of all of our hearts? Just to be united, to be reunited with those that have gone before us, to be reunited with those that we've fallen apart from here on this earth, to be in unison with our Creator, the one who is love. And it's just a glimpse. I don't want to, for a second, pretend that somehow one song in one moment just overshadows the real brokenness we see in the world. There are still wars. There's still poverty. There are still problems everywhere we look. But if we're open to it, we get a glimpse of heaven. And I hope as often as you tune into the Olympics and you see the Eiffel Tower and you see Paris, the city of love, that you would be reminded of this moment where God's word goes out. Reunite those who love one another. Love is a powerful force. But soon and already medals have started going out and competitions have been had and some have succeeded in triumph and some have already failed and are feeling heartbreak. And again, that narrative kicks back up. If you're good, you get rewarded. If you're bad, you don't. And here's the thing. Even though our culture understands rewards this way, God sees it completely different. We have good news in the Bible. I want to point you to Ephesians chapter 2 because sports may work one way, but salvation works this way. In Ephesians 2, verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You are not rewarded for the good things that you've done when it comes to salvation. No, here's how it works. God saved you by his grace. It's what he did when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. There is no amount of good things that you've done that has earned your place on the invitation list into the kingdom of heaven. And there is no bad thing that you've ever done, ever said, or even thought that is keeping you off that list if you believe in Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. That's the invitation. That's the power. And so we go back to our conversation with the Pharisees. They're trying to understand that. We can look back. They're in the midst of it, and they say, why? Why are you doing things differently, Jesus? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do that? And fortunately for us, we have the answer. If we go ahead to the scripture verse from the Gospel of Matthew, they ask the question, and then Jesus responds. And he says this, Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Did you catch that part? It's not the healthy people that need a doctor. It's the sick people that do. We know that inherently, right? What kind of a God would see his children hurting, suffering, in pain, and not do something about it? But the good news is God did do something about that when he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to sacrifice himself for our sin so that we wouldn't be separated, but that we would be reunited through God's love. But we have to know if we're healthy or sick. So a question for you. When's the last time you had a checkup? Maybe physically. Maybe this is your reminder you need to see the doctor. Maybe it's spiritually. When's the last time you allowed God into your heart to say, truly, Lord, convict me. If there's something that you see that is unholy, unrighteous, unworthy of my time and my energy, turn me away from it and turn me towards you. But we have to swallow our pride to get that diagnosis. I'll tell you a story. A couple weeks ago, I twisted my knee. And I'd like to think that it was because I was doing something cool, skateboarding or something. I was just standing. It's so embarrassing. I was standing, I went to turn, and my leg said, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. So I did this for like 20 minutes. I talked to people, I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. VBS is coming up. I'll stretch this right out. And it wasn't getting any better. Fortunately, I have people in my life who love me. Jeremy Johnson, he said, hey, you just need to go see a doctor. It's not going to change what's going on. Let him take a picture, and then you have peace of mind about what's going on. It's like, what do you know? He's like, I know a lot, actually, about this. So I said, okay, swallow my pride. I scheduled the appointment. I get to go into the nicest semi-truck you've ever seen in a parking lot. They take some x-rays, and they put me in this MRI machine. And the whole time I'm thinking, this is nothing. I know there are people that are facing real adversity, real suffering, real pain, real sickness. This is just a little knee. But again, if you don't have it looked at, how will you ever get it fixed? God wants to fix not only the big things in our life, but the little things too. And so they say, how you doing? Which is a nice question in general, but when you're at the doctor's office, it's like, how do you think I'm doing? I'm here to see you. I'd rather just be dancing at Vacation Bible School. But they were very kind. They took some pictures. They said, okay, well, we'll get your results back on your knee that's hurting in a couple days. They said, these x-rays, how's your good knee doing? I'm like, it's fine. I mean, it's a little sore because I've been dancing at Vacation Bible School. I wear a disco ball cowboy hat. Ha, it's all fun. And they said, well, it looks like you got some early arthritis going on in there. It's like, I'm 37. I did not expect arthritis at this age. But the truth is, that's life. It was always like this. The picture didn't change what was going on. It just revealed what's next. The same is true in our relationship with God. When's the last time you let God get a good picture and talk to you about it? Just like he did with the Pharisees. And so we jump back to the conversation with them. He says, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Now notice this isn't just from our Bible reading that you heard Kaylee read a little bit ago from Luke. This is from Matthew, the one who Jesus called. He's recounting this story as well. And he adds this little part in his gospel. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, to show love, not offer sacrifices. For I've come to call those not who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Here's the good news, and if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Jesus didn't shoo away the Pharisees. He didn't say, don't you know I'm busy with these sinners? You guys think you're so great, get out of here. No, Jesus is a good doctor. And he knew the type of medicine they needed. He invited them to join the dinner. That's not what they wanted to do. So he gave them some medicine that they would be familiar with. He says, I want you to go and learn. You see, the Pharisees, they were students of God's law, of these Old Testament readings. And they would have known that nowadays, with technology, we can just click on this little button that has the three dots and it'll take you into what was there in the Old Testament. They would have known that this phrase, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice, well, it's from the Old Testament, from the prophet Hosea. And so I want to show you what they would have discovered. First of all, what you need to know about the prophet Hosea is Hosea literally means salvation. We're off to a great start. Salvation, salvage, literally to take something that's looks like on an outward appearance that it's rubbish, that it's garbage, and to say, no, I've got plans for this. I'm going to restore it, renew it, and make it of value again. So they open this book and they start to read, and a little context for Prophet Hosea, if you're not up to the basics of what was going on in his time, he lived 800 years before Jesus in the 8th century BC, and during that time while he was prophesying, there was lots of political instability. I think we have a whole list of things up here. There was political instability. There was assassination attempts on the leaders of their time. There was a threat from the Assyrian nation, which is modern-day Iran, parts of Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, and Turkey, and they were oppressing Israel. There was social corruption. People were bending the rules to get by and not following the same set of standards. There was idolatry worship. I mean, TikTok was crazy back then. It was wild. They didn't have TikTok, but they found other ways to put other things above God. The economy was in decline. The rich were getting richer, and the poor were having trouble keeping up. And God worked through Hosea to give prophetic warnings over the course of 60 years. This wasn't just a one-off. It was over 60 years. And God used Hosea's life to be a living example. He said, Hosea, I want you to go and to marry this woman, and she is unfaithful. She's unfaithful to me. She's going to be unfaithful to you, and I want you to stay with her. I want you to love her. Even if she runs away from you, I want you to always receive her back graciously, because this is how I see my children. Even though they've turned away from me and they're unfaithful to me, I am faithful to them. And so he lived this out. And so we get to the middle of Hosea's writings in Hosea 6. We find these words, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. So I imagine the Pharisees getting to this part of the scripture text and saying, okay, we found it. Starting to process this concept of what's going on. But what we need more context. What came before that? What came after that? Of course, want to show love, but it starts in chapter 6 saying, come, let us return to the Lord. And then God says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. And then it finishes. The next verse says, but you broke my covenant and you betrayed my trust. You know, the only way you can return to the Lord is to acknowledge that you're apart from him. And there's something separating you from him. And God loves you too much to let that barrier stay in the way. He says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. And I want you to know you broke my commands. You betrayed my trust. Now, any good doctor knows you got to take the full dose of the medication. You got to do the full treatment. You got to leave the cast on for the whole period of time, or it's only going to get injured again. And so they didn't just stop reading in chapter 6. If you read the whole book, and we have the luxury of just fast-forwarding right to the end, here's Hosea chapter 14, the final words. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Here comes the medicine. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. It's an invitation to the Pharisees. It's an invitation to the people living during the time of Hosea. It's an invitation because God's word is alive. It's an invitation to you and to me. Return to the Lord. It's your sins. It is not the sins of others. It is not the sinful nature of our culture that's brought our country down. It's your sins. It's my sins that has brought me down. What do we do? Thank God he gives us the answer. He says, say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. It's an invitation to come home. And it's good medicine for us. And so I want to say this second half, starting with the yellow, the word forgive, all together as one voice. Let's say it together. Forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. And as God heals our wounds, and as he restores us physically and spiritually, here's the greatest news of all. He then says, now I want you to go. It's not us versus them. I want you to go. And for those that look like there's a barrier between them and the Lord, I want you to forgive all their sins. People who've wronged you, that have mistreated you, that misled you. And I want you to graciously receive them so that they, together with you, can offer praises to God. This is good news. This is good medicine for our souls today and always. I'll close with this. Sometimes people say, and I think this, wouldn't it be great if Jesus was just here to say this stuff to us and remind us like he did with the Pharisees? But Jesus made a promise. He said, even before he went to the cross and he died for us, even before his body was laid in the tomb, even before he rose from the grave on the third day in victory, he made a promise to his disciples that when he ascended to heaven, that he would send an advocate. He would send us a helper who is here to help us today, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus says, and he will teach you. It doesn't say he might teach you. He will teach you. And he will remind you of all the things that I've said to you. That is good news. And so today, as we close our time together, we're going to sing this song inviting God to pour his Spirit out right here and right now so that we can experience the healing power of his love, that it may reunite us in his love for our world now and forever. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for service online.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We don't think it's any accident that you're here, and we have been praying for you.
To see more of our content, know when we go live, and stay up to date week to week, feel free to subscribe to this channel.
And if you live close by one of our campuses or local sites, we invite you to check us out in person. We would love to meet you. And don't forget to follow us on social media to stay up to date.
See you next week.